are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we are powered by the SID Media. So, girls often feel pressure to meet societal standards of beauty. When girls don't feel attractive, they often don't feel good about themselves in general. It doesn't mean you can never have a bad hair day. Of course, that happens. But if you only have negative thoughts and feelings about the way you look, it can wear down on a girl. You might not feel important or valuable, and you are definitely important and valuable. So we are joined on the line to speak to us about what beauty is, and even if we should we actually be interested in all of this beauty concept, right, and concept. And we are joined on the line by Sister Christian Chakalimba, who's going to be speaking to us about this. My sister, good morning, how are you?
Good morning. I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm super excited. Looking at your profile picture, you're beautiful.
Thank you.
So before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
Okay. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful morning you've given us. We ask you to be with us throughout the program. Thank you for the gift of life. We ask you to be those that are sick and the bereaved. May you comfort them. May you guide our discussion until the end of it. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Sister Christian, what is beauty?
Well, beauty, I feel like, is quite subjective. But the Bible does not provide a specific definition of beauty. Mm. But it often emphasizes on inner qualities, virtues and character over physical appearance than we normally consider worldly. Mm. So it emphasizes on qualities like kindness, humility, and a heart focused on God.
Mm.
So when we take the worldly definition, we go by the outward appearance, how your nose is shaped,
mm.
how your forehead comes out, how you smile. But the Bible provides a different definition of it. Mm. And that is backed up by the Bible verse, the common Bible verse, Proverbs 31:30, which says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Now, this only suggests that inner qualities and a strong connection with God hold greater value than an outward appearance.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. So why is it that, we are older, but why is it that girls sometimes, you know, even the older women, they do feel pressure? Why do we feel the pressure to be beautiful? You know, we some buy these beauty products, you know, before you sleep, you have to apply this, you have to apply that. They have different shades of lipstick. Some of them, they've even went and got their brows done like permanently. So why do we feel the pressure to be beautiful?
Well, I feel like for a start, I wouldn't want to call this societal pressure,
mm-hmm.
but rather society has decided to define beauty, mm-hmm. and people try to conform to that pattern of beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've earlier mentioned, the Bible gives us a different definition of it,
mm-hmm.
that comes from the inwards. So it's not something you can physically see. But because the world aligns us or forces us to look at beauty in a different perspective,
mm.
say it defines what beauty is, right?
Mm.
Which is contrary to God's formation.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like society has decided to define beauty for us. Mm-hmm. And as a people, as young girls, we try to conform to that pattern. Look at this way. It's like you see a lot of people driving to get to the supermarket,
mm-hmm.
which is 10, 15 minutes away from your place. So they're using cars to get to the supermarket to get certain products. Now, these are people within your age range.
Hmm.
And you also want to go to the supermarket to get stuff, which you usually, I mean, previously you were going there by road. I mean, you just walked to the supermarket.
Mm.
Now that you're a certain age, you've seen, like, your age mates are going to the same supermarket using cars. you were forced to hire a car to get to the supermarket, to get around. What is happening here is that you are conforming to the pattern of using cars, right?
Yeah.
So it's not a mandate that you go to the supermarket by a car.
Okay.
You can walk. I mean, if you're physically fit. So it's the same way that young girls in the church and elsewhere are conforming to the pattern of beauty. And sorry, excuse me, but as described by Hollywood. Well, I love reading. And there's a book I stumbled about 3 years ago. It's called Brave. It was written by Rose McGowan, a French former actress. Now, she broke away from the Hollywood cult after learning that she was forced to bend herself to conform to a certain pattern of beauty as depicted by any movie that she stars in. So, I mean, she was fed up with that culture. She felt like, no, I'm not living my true self. I need to be Rose, the one that, I mean, God placed on this earth for a particular reason, unlike showing people what they're not. So from the book, it tells us that Hollywood determines how people are going to live their lifestyles. Hollywood determines how you're going to curl up your hair, how you should look. Hollywood determines what a beautiful girl should look like. Now, she was picking up examples on how previously ladies didn't know that Brazilian hair is all that a woman needs to look beautiful. But because you saw it from a certain movie, you saw it from TV, that a beautifully depicted, I mean, a picture of a beautiful girl had someone in Brazilian hair, short skirts, red lipstick, eyebrows out there like that. And now young people were made to believe that's what a beautiful girl ought to look like. So we define beauty by what we see. So we are forced to believe everything we see on TV. What we're doing now is conforming to the pattern that has been set forth. So the pressure comes in. It's not necessarily pressure from society, but it is us conforming to the pattern of what we see.
So how then do we train up our young girls, you know, not to be influenced by what society says, Hollywood? Because for, as you were saying, and I'm remembering, I even forgot what this is, this disease is called, where you eat food and then you go and vomit it out. You know, you force yourself to vomit it out so that, is it exterior or something like that with an X, so that, you know, you become thinner. And we know that according to the standards of society, being beautiful means a flat stomach, you know, proper curves and everything, proper lips, proper brows and stuff. How then do we do we tell our girl children, you are beautiful the way you are, you are beautiful the way you look?
Well, I feel like it all goes down to the upbringing. From a tender age, we need to have open communication with our young girls. Well, I know I'm a young woman myself, but I've been, most of the standards or the values that I uphold until now are things that were taught to me by my mother when I was young. When she said, you cannot have, well, you cannot have this kind of relationship with a man, or you cannot eat such kind of food. You cannot be found in these places. I mean, you can't be, like she used to say, you can't be a commonplace lizard. So I am, like, that is to say, I can't be found everywhere that, you know, people get to be. These are things that I live by because it was earlier communicated to from my mother. So I feel like there has to be a situation where as kids are growing up, parents should have open communication. They should create a safe space for open dialogue. So in that, they have to encourage and share their thoughts with the young girls and clearly impart knowledge based on the biblical principles.
Mm-hmm.
And as the Bible says, teach the way, teach your kid the way they have to go, and they'll not depart from it. It actually goes that way. We start from when they're young, have these communications, open communication spaces with them. And also parents themselves should set up as positive role models.
Mm.
You need to be able, like, your child has to look up to you. Or at least if they can look up to you, try to connect them with people you know are positive role models. They will influence them positively.
Yeah.
A very good example is myself. I'm a trained accountant stroke mm-hmm. auditor. I had to see, I saw role models growing up.
Yeah.
Like, I would travel with my mom, with my dad. He would take me to places where they wanted me to live up to, like to be when I grow up. So I would see people wearing high heels, going in offices, I mean, using elevators. And that would inspire me to say, oh, I want to be like them. We can do the same with our kids. Give them positive role models. If you parents can't be the positive role models, at least align them with people you know present themselves in this way that the Bible wants us to look. And apart from that, doing all this will also build self-esteem in these kids. Like, you focus on building their self-esteem and self-worth based on your accomplishments as parents or other people's accomplishments. You say, for example, in Malawi, we have the director general, the lady director general of the Anti-Corruption Bureau. One thing I look at her is, if we're looking at physical or outward appearance, she's a woman I consider with natural or real beauty. She doesn't wear makeup. Her hair is always kept and short. I mean, you will never find any of those popping, you know, cosmetics around her. So you look at such people and you try to build your kids' self-esteem by showing them these positive role models. I mean, it actually helps.
Indeed. So
and you...
No, you may continue.
Sorry, so I was just saying, and you emphasize on the inner values that the Bible teaches us. The kindness, honesty, humility. There's also a quote that says, kindness makes you the most beautiful person. So you see, it aligns with what the Bible says regarding a vicious woman.
So how then do we find beauty within? You know, we always teach, and even when the pastors are preaching, they're saying, no, it's all about what's inside, you know. But sometimes we do look ourselves in the mirror, we're like, no, you know, like, you know, if my cheeks were like this, or if we do that, you know. But whilst we are busy looking that, like, yo, Zanelle, this is your stomach, shame, it's like you're pregnant and you're not. How then do I find beauty within, even though I can see, in quotes, what I would say their flaws, you know, because we are beautiful the way we are. But how then do I find beauty within, even though I'm like, ish, you know, hey, my arms, my name, and there's something wrong with them, you know?
Okay. So I think my opening Bible verse, I think I have structured my discussion based on that Bible verse, because it's actually broader than it really is. So in trying to find beauty within ourselves, I feel like we must focus on the inner qualities. And these are qualities that no one will take away from us. You can be involved in road accident, whatever happens to you outwardly, physically, but no one is going to take that away from you. So we have to focus on inner qualities and virtues other than the external appearances. One, we can develop by developing a godly character. So where we emphasize on qualities like love, kindness, humility, patience, and integrity. You find this is also emphasized on Genesis chapter 5 somewhere around 22 to 23. Mm. You can also refer to Colossians 3 verse 12 up there. And the second thing is we need to practice, how do I put it? You have to seek wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Because wisdom is more valuable than rubies, than your physical appearances.
Yep.
So you encourage young girls the pursuit of wisdom and knowledge, which contributes to their inner beauty.
Hmm.
I mean, someone that is smart, I mean intellectually smart, is very confident. Because, you know, what causes us to compare our physical appearances to others? What causes us to feel insecure about how our nose is shaped, or how I have short legs, or my legs are thinner? Is because we're comparing ourselves to another person that we see from that end, right? It's because we're lacking that confidence that says, okay, I'm going to show up, I'm enough, I am whole. Because we are in that, it shows we're lacking wisdom. So when we pursue wisdom, when we pursue God's knowledge, it contributes to our inner beauty, which later on affirms our confidence. So we can be in any room without looking at the next person and thinking, oh, but I have a short nose, I have big eyes. Because you know God already told you that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And lastly, we can... we have to renew our minds for us to come to this state. We have to be able to teach each other, or to teach our girls, about the transformative power of renewing the mind, as depicted in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. All of this will help us to come to a point where our girls are very confident. I am fearfully and wonderfully made without thinking twice.
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, Sister Christian, I've realized that the more we as parents and the more we as adults, for example, when we have young children and we carry ourselves with that, I am beautiful, you know, even if I have a huge scar on my face, the younger ones are able to see that, and then they're able to copy from us. They're able also to hold that, you know, hold themselves up high, and then they follow that. But then now, as we near the end, there is this thing that even though we have taught our children to be confident in everything they do, to be beautiful and embrace their inner beauty, they still get bullied. You know, how then do they move away from that? And those who don't and actually embrace this inner beauty, some tend to be arrogant, you know. How then do we balance those things between being bullied, too shy, and between being too over the top, for lack of a better word?
Okay. I think that's a major challenge that we have. You know, you can have all this knowledge about you being beautiful in God's eyes, being like confident in yourself, and the external forces now will still come. So it's a matter of training, I would say, and we need to teach our young girls some assertive skills, where they have to stand up for themselves without escalating the situation, that is. We should be able to encourage them to use a firm but respective tone. I'll give another example of Viola Davis, Finding Me, the book, that is. She uses an example of she tells a story of her growing up and being bullied in school because she was of color. And what every time she would run away from these bullies, the boys.
Mm.
Now, among the bullies was also another person of color, only that because he was light-skinned, so he tried to conform to the other white guy, so he considered himself a white person.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one time, she was exhausted from the work she was doing at home and everything. Now, these people were now in their large numbers, and she felt, oh, no, I'm now overpowered. These people, no matter how much I run, they're going to catch me. Mm-hmm. So she remembered her mom telling her to say, stand up to these boys. But it was just her against a multitude of guys. So this one time she stood up to them and challenged them and to say, bring it on. What are you going to do about it? And called out the other person of color in that group. And turns out the other person of color was the ringleader.
Mm.
So it was about her being assertive, standing up for herself to say, okay, enough is enough. You're not going to do this to me. So we need to teach our girls to say, okay, no one is going to make you feel less than what you really are, because you know you're beautiful, you're fearfully made. So no one is going to describe you as ugly, because you know I am beautiful in the eyes of God, and I was made in the creation, I was made in the image of God. So assertiveness could be one way to go. Communicate assertiveness, some assertive skills to our young girls.
Mm.
And that is going, it's a safety skill. It's going to help them whenever they're around these bullies.
Mm.
Because they know, even though it's not like it's not going to hurt, but because you've stood up to someone, now you've created an armor around yourself to say,
true,
oh no, we can't go. We can go against that person. She knows who she is. I mean, she knows her value. She knows her worth. Now people don't feel intimidated by confident people, you know.
Mm.
The society feels really intimidated by someone that's unbreakable.
Mm-hmm.
So you teach them to be strong, to be powerful, to stand up for themselves. And I mean, that's a way to go, I think.
Indeed, Sister Christian, what a beautiful one there. So I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us and also include that those girl children, that may the Lord help them to understand that they're beautiful.
Yeah.
And even with us, mommy, so that we don't try to make these children to be something that they are not. Hey, because hey, sometimes you find us putting lipstick on children, funny hairstyles, you know, so that, you know, we may God may help us to be good parents and model them.
Okay. All right. Shall we pray?
Yes.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful discussion you've given us. We thank you for the wonderful morning. Thank you because you were with us throughout the program. We thank you for the beautiful listeners that are all out there. Lord, we thank you for the gift of children. We ask you to be with them as they go through their education and their various career development. Lord, we know there is a lot of pressure out there from society on who or how they defined, on who they should be, or how they should live up to the standards set by the society, which are contrary to your word. Lord, we ask you that you help parents, guardians, to be able to share openly with these young girls, to be able to openly communicate your word to these girls. And may they be receptive to your word, O Lord. We ask you, O Lord God, to strengthen those that are being bullied in schools and churches and their communities every day for how they look. Lord, may your word speak to them. May you send your men, send your angels to encourage them. Send your angels to cover them, and that in whatever they do, they have to remember and stand firmly, knowing that you're with them always. Lord, may you please guide parents that are leading their kids astray without knowing. Give them a spirit of discernment so they know what is right and what is wrong, so that they do not depart from your word. Lord, we ask you all this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We pray, amen.
Amen and amen. Sister Christian, Thank you so much for that wonderful lesson. It is a very interesting one. I think you must come mm-hmm. back so that we can speak about these parents that make children to be something else.
Definitely, I would love that.
Yeah, but we will arrange for that. So for today, thank you so much. Have yourself a blessed, a super blessed day.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure. I've learned a thing or two, and I hope our young girls were listening and that they will live according to the word of God and that they will not be shaken by what society presses against them.
Amen and amen. Thank you, sis. Have yourself a blessed day.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. Do you want-